Hallelujah, Father God. We just worship You and praise You. Father, we're not here by accident. We're not here by chance. We're here, Father God, to receive. We're here, Father God, to grow in the things of You. We're here, Father God, to learn. And I am dependent upon You. I am dependent upon You. And I thank You for each person here today. I thank You that they came to give and receive. Thank You and praise You, Father God. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank You. Amen. It's good to be engaged. A verse of Scripture we read, we didn't talk about it a lot when it comes to bearing and producing fruit, is found in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verse 20. I've got it here. You don't need to turn there. But the explanation of the parable of the seed and the different types of soil, the four different types of soil, and that last type of soil was this one found in verse 20. But these are ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit. Some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. It was really interesting this morning. I was sitting down, going over my notes, looking at things. And just the way this verse of Scripture got put into my iPad and the way I had it turned was that was about all I was seeing, was that verse of Scripture. And when I was seeing it like that, I wasn't seeing all the stuff that was around it. You know, not that all that stuff is bad. But then something kind of popped out at me right in the middle of the verse. But these are those sown on good ground, those who hear the word and accept it. Turn and look at somebody and say, accept the word. Don't analyze it. Don't scrutinize it. Don't do all those other things that people do with it. You know what good soil does? It accepts the word. A starting place. Amen? Accept the word. Because as a minister, I've heard more excuses on more subjects matter than I can remember. And that's true. There's excuses all the time why people don't come to church. Well, guess what they're not doing? They're not accepting the word. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, which is the habit of some. And all the more when you see the day approaching. A couple weeks ago I said, an element of humor, I kind of find it humorous. I think if you mix a little bit of humor in there, you can challenge people a little bit. They might be a bit more open. But, you know, there's a lot of people, if you went around and asked them, and you could ask a lot of people who aren't going to church, do you think the end times are coming? Do you think we're getting closer and closer? Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're getting closer. Yeah. Jesus. The world might say Armageddon. But you know, they're just, yeah, it's getting closer, it's getting closer. And there is a verse of Scripture, the Word, that says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Well, I don't like that one. See, and I can have church up on top of the mountain. Not really. Not really. Hanging out on top of the mountain and never fellowshipping with other members of the body of Christ, you can't have church. You are not church in and of yourself. Amen? Because I got something to give to you, and you got something to give to me, and Kim's got something to give to you, and Betsy's got something to give to you. I mean, and Dan's got something, and there's this give and take back and forth all the way. You know, you can take my hand, you can take my finger, cut it off, and put it on top of a mountain, and it is no longer part of this body. Amen. But Pastor, we're all here. Amen. Praise God. Turn and look at somebody and say, give them a high five. Yeah, I'm glad you're here. But just the point is, accept it. Accept it. And even the word you don't like. Well, there isn't any word I don't like. Want to bet? I'll bet you if we dug long enough, we could find one. How many of you have ever been reading your Bible and you came across something and wanted to skip it? What's that? Yeah, but that doesn't apply to me. Right. Well, that's not for today. We have all of our excuses. We've got all of our yeah buts. Amen? Okay. Anyway, so turn and look at somebody and say, just accept it so he can move on. but accept it. Those who hear the word, accept it and bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Amen. And do you know what kind of soil you have been called to be? You're called to be good soil. Do you got your Bibles open to John chapter 15? John chapter 15. Amen. I'm just going to jump down and read the last verse because I don't know if I'll get to it. But I want to read verse 16 of John chapter 15. That's the last verse in the verses I have, you know, planned on reading today. Out of John chapter 15. I got to clarify some things here. You all think I'm going to read this verse and be done and gone. No. All right. John chapter 15, verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Amen. You know what you've been called to do? Bear fruit. You've been called to produce fruit. And man, I tell you what, I can't take this lightly. I like to have fun. I like to enjoy things. I like to laugh a lot. But this is so important. And how many of you know you can be serious and things can be important and you're laughing all at the same time? Can you be serious and laugh at the same time? But we don't normally think about those being together, do we? You know, but you know, you just turn and look at somebody and say, oh, you fruit producer. You know, turn and look at somebody and say, I am a fruit-bearing believer. Amen? How many fruit-bearing believers do we have in here? I hope so. I hope we got a whole bunch of people bearing a whole bunch of fruit. And so now let me back up and read at verse 1. Jesus said, I am the vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and withers. And they gather them together and they throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you my friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. Now, verse 17, these things, everybody say things, that I command you. What are the things that he commands us to do? And notice it doesn't say this thing. It says these things I command you. So what are the things that he commands? To go and bear fruit. Could we say this is another thing he commands? That we abide in him. You know what? You can't, You got to have all three of those if you're going to be successful at any one of them. How many of you want to abide in His love? What is required in order to abide? And just to simplify some things with that word abide means to live. To live in His love. How many of you want to live in His love? Well, didn't we just read a verse of Scripture that says, if you want to live in His love, you'll do what? Keep His commandments. Amen? And if we just keep it right here to this section of Scripture, we could say those commandments could be summed up in three things we already said pretty well. One, produce fruit, bear fruit. Number two, walk in love. And number three, abide in Him. Because you can't bear fruit without abiding in Him. Just think about it. We can do nothing apart from Him. I can do nothing apart from Him. If I am not attached to Him, I can do nothing that is of the kingdom of God, that is of the fruit of heaven. Okay, just a little thought. Then how important is it that I am connected to Him? Okay, and just another thing, since I started this, we'll come back to it. You know what? Would somebody please point at the body of Jesus right now? Go ahead, point. Yeah. We got to be connected to each other, don't we? None of us have all, but all of us together. That's another story. Amen. We need each other. We need to be connected to each other. And totally honest, let's just stay connected all the time. You know, I just told him when I cut my finger off, you know, it was like 80% cut off. And then I had that question put to me, well, do you want to try to save it? And I thought about it and I pondered, and I've heard enough stories from men who have had fingers partially cut off, and then they tried to save them, and they don't work well. You know, so I just said, take it off. But you know what I would definitely not want to go through? Have it cut off, sewed on, cut off, sewed on, cut off, sewed on. Do you know what sometimes happens with believers? Attached. Detached. Attached. Detached. It happens, friends. It happens all the time. People disconnect. Stay connected. Stay connected to Jesus. There's lots of ways we do that. And this one wasn't in my notes at all. But a part of staying connected to Him is staying connected to each other. You know, it's really hard to love people well when you're just hanging up on top of the mountain never seeing anybody. And I've gotten a little bit more bolder when I have people come up to me and say, well, I just have church, you know. Out in the woods. Great. But who are you sharing with? Who are you giving to? Who are you blessing? Amen? You know, I think today earlier I thought it, I think I prayed it, giving and receiving. How many of you came here today to do both? To give and to receive. You know, some people come to church, well, I never get anything out of it. Well, what do you give? Amen? But I'm just talking about people who aren't here today, okay? Amen? So anyway, these things I commit, you know, I want to abide in His love. I want to live in His love. Well, that means that I need to stay connected to Him. Now, I want to bear fruit. I want to bear fruit. How many in here want to bear fruit? And let me ask you a question. What kind of fruit do you want to bear? And you do this right now. In your own life, when I talk about bearing fruit, I'm going to give some examples. And then I want you to think about some areas of your life and some areas in your life where you want a certain type of fruit to be produced and to be available to you. How about this? Bearing fruit along these lines. Praying for people and they get healed. How many of you want that kind of fruit in your life? You're out praying for people and they get healed. How about things like this? Husbands and wives radically loving each other and raising children in a godly household. How many husbands and wives want that kind of fruit? Did you know that's a fruit that we produce as believers? Awesome marriages. I could go off on this one again, but I won't, sweetheart. I'll just move on. How about this kind of fruit? People who share their faith throughout the day and are all constantly introducing people to Jesus. In other words, a soul winner. Amen. How about the fruit of light? What do you mean by the fruit of light? The fruit, you know, like where the scripture talks about that they might see your light, they might see your good works and glorify God. How about the fruit of hope? Just having hope. Have you ever been hopeless? How many of you like it when you're hopeless? No, no thanks. That's a tough place to get out of. But the fruit of hope. How about the fruit of raising your children in the Lord? Which requires a wisdom and a knowledge. You know, I was thinking about this, and I'll just say it anyway. You know that verse of scripture where the Bible says, train up your child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart? Notice that doesn't say they'll come back. It says they won't depart. Amen. We don't always interpret it that way, but that's what it says. Train up a child in the way they should go. Do you know how many people have their children so busy that I'll bet if you asked them, how much time do those children spend in the Word? You're going to be talking a little bit. Amen? How many of you think that's possible? Train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they're old, they'll not depart. We're not supposed to train up our children to be so busy that they don't have time for their Bible, that they don't have time for prayer. And remember the phrase from Lorraine Thomas in Rushville, Nebraska, and she said this, more things are caught than taught. It's amazing how much we can get done if we will stop and wait on the Lord. I remember I was doing FCA at the school, and this one girl, and it stuck out to me because I know her, and I was talking about just being quiet and waiting, and she goes, I can't do that. And she's a Christian. But her own confession was, I can't do that. Wow, I can't slow down and sit and be quiet and wait on the Lord. So busy. Amen. You guys okay today? You doing all right? Praise God. Amen. So what kind of fruit do you want growing in you? Would you think about that for a moment? Maybe write it down. Anybody in here who, like me, needed the fruit of patience? You know, and we talk about this, you know, and people, they have fun with this. They make a joke of it. God, I need patience, and I need them now. But how many of you know you got patience? According to the Word of God, you have patience. See, we ask for a lot of stuff that we already have. I don't need God to give me patience. He already did. In Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts, by the power of the Holy Ghost. So where's the love of God? It's all over in here. And then you go to Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. Love is... what do I got? Patience. Turn and look at somebody and say, you got patience. Quit asking for them and start using them. Start producing. How do you produce? How do you produce patience? For me, it was one, accepting God's word that said I had patience. and take those two verses of Scripture, put them together. I have patience. Turn and look at somebody and say, you have patience. You do, because it's true. You have patience. Anybody in here want to, y'all being a little bit too quiet on me today, and I'm wrestling with that. Anybody in here ever have an explosive moment? You know, I have explosive moments on occasion, and my wife and children did not appreciate them. You know, but I remember when I was in Bible school and I was working in a nursing home, and it was the hardest job I ever had, working in a nursing home, because you took a guy who had been outside logging and drilling holes with jackhammers and filling them up with dynamite and then exploding it, you know, that kind of stuff. And now I'm in a nursing home. And it challenged me. And I'm at school learning that the love of God is shed abroad in my heart by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I have patience. I have patience. This is what I would do. I would drive to work. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. I'm not kidding you. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. It was about a 25-minute drive. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. I am patient. And on those days when I would remember to say that and to do that, I would be patient with the patients. And I had some embarrassing moments with the patients when I wasn't patient. I remember one time this elderly lady, she's moving and she's a little unstable. And she reaches and grabs my hand for security. I jerked my arm away. And other workers there saw me. I don't know why I jerked my arm away. She wasn't hurting me or anything like that, but that was just my natural reaction. How many of you know that wasn't a good witness? There are so many areas in our life where we have to develop things. I needed the fruit of patience. Okay, all of the wives in here, would you please turn to your husband and tell them what fruit you would like to see them producing in their life? We're going to turn this around just in a second. We got some chuckles out of that, but I was wanting a little more life there. Any of you want to do that? Any of you brave enough to do that? You know, but how many of us ever wish some other people would be producing a certain kind of fruit? I know, my wife, I know she wanted me to produce patience. She wanted me to produce calm. Non-yelling. I don't know what you call that fruit, but the fruit of self-control. My wife, many of you have heard this story, but I can yell. Oh man, could I yell? And she said to me one day, don't yell at me. And my response was, yelling? You call that yelling? That's not yelling. I'll show you yelling if you want to see yelling. True. And I'm chilling it out right now, okay? I'm calming it down quite a bit. A couple weeks later, I'm reading my Bible. The office was right there. And I go to the book of Ephesians. And it says, put away from you. Clamoring was the word, and I didn't know what clamoring was. And I went and studied and found out what the word clamoring means. How many of you know what the word clamor means? Loud quarreling. And I read that, and the Spirit of God, you put the word and the Spirit together, He'll talk to you. And I read that loud clamoring, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart and said, Joel, if your wife calls it yelling, it's yelling. The word and the Spirit hit me and I just start crying. I'm an emotional person. I'll cry pretty easy. I got up and I walked out of my office, and her office was right in this corner. And I came around the corner, and this is like 2 weeks after I'd been yelling at her. And I came into her office and I looked down and tears are running down my face. And I'm like, honey, I am so sorry. And she looks up at me, for what? For yelling. God just told me if it's yelling, it's yelling. She really appreciates that fruit in my life. And I'd gone for years and years, and she never had to say, you're yelling at me. But about a year ago, I think it was, I blew it. and got to repent and get forgiveness. Now I'm after it again. You know, but, okay, wow. What kind of fruit do you want in your life? Accept the word of that kind of fruit. Accept the word. Accept the word. If you want fruit of healing, get into the word of God concerning healing. If you want the fruit of self-control, start, get into it and get the word in you. Amen? Now, all right. Hebrews chapter 12. We all doing okay? Hebrews chapter 12. I'm going to do this. Have you ever wanted a do-over? You ever been in life and you just wanted a do-over? Me too. In golf, they call it mulligans. It still costs you. You lose a swing or whatever. I'm not a golf player, but so today I want a do-over. So I'm going to get a do-over today. Praise God. Hebrews chapter 12, just really 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, you know, I don't know if I'll get to preach about this or not, but I was reading this morning, just going over my notes again, and I could spend the rest of today and next week in Hebrews 12, verse 1 down through, 17? And just in there. And then remind myself that, Hebrews 1 starts out with the word therefore, which takes you back to Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter of faith. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Therefore, since you are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Who's in the grandstands of heaven watching us right now? Samson, David, the Apostle Paul, Peter, John. Since we, folks, this is our time to take the field. We get to play now. We get to join into the game now. We get to be about our Father's business on the face of the earth now. What a privilege. Amen. What a privilege. Praise God. And I want to produce faith like those men of old produced. I want to make a difference with my life. And I'm surrounded, you're surrounded by such great cloud of witnesses. King Saul. Did I want Saul? No, I don't want Saul. King David. Solomon, who was after. Just think they're up there now. They're cheering us on. Hallelujah. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has been set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. There is so much into those three verses, I can't get into all of it, so I'm going to purpose to stay on track. But this is my do-over. This is my do-over, and we're doing it different. Can I have one person, please? One person come help. Just one. Boy, you're all being quiet on me. It's so calm. Thank you, Kim. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, looking. Looking unto who? Looking unto Jesus. What's the best way for us to look unto Jesus? To look unto the Word. And no, I'm not going to take the time again today to do this, but you can do it on your own. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 5. 1 John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. When you're looking at the Word, you're looking at Jesus. When you're abiding in the Word, you're abiding in Jesus. Amen? I need the practical. Because it'd be one, looking unto Jesus, looking unto Jesus. Well, how do you do that? Open up your Bible. Open up your Bible and read your Bible. Digging in the Bible. Getting the Word of God in you. If you abide in Him and His Word abides in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it shall be done for you. Isn't that amazing? That abiding? Wow! Turn and look at somebody and go, wow! Really? I can abide in Him and then I can ask for whatever I will? But now see, did you know there's a check and balance in that? Because if you're truly abiding in Him, you won't go asking for selfish stuff. You know, if a branch is truly abiding in a peach tree, it doesn't produce avocados. Amen? So if you're truly abiding in Jesus, if you're truly abiding in the Word, you're going to produce things of Jesus. You're going to produce things of the Word. You're going to produce things of the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Now, looking unto Jesus, looking into the Word, and Kim, will you grab those for me? And a couple things. I don't want to miss things here. I don't want to go too fast. Last week I just did, and this is my do-over. So, amen. Fruit-bearing believers. Amen. Kim's got the binoculars on. Looking unto Jesus. Let me read a few things. And stuff. Looking unto Jesus. And what is He? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. But how many times do people do this? They have a certain need in their life and they want to exercise their faith to get that need met, to get whatever that is. Maybe it's a healing in their body, whatever. And then they'll go and they... Here's Jesus. You know, here's the Word. Here's the promises. But they'll set that down and they'll go over here and they'll say, oh, I heard that you prayed for healing, but it didn't work. And see, actually, that's not the truth with her, because she's got a testimony where warts fell off. Used her faith. But how many times do we stop looking at Jesus and we look at somebody else's circumstances? You know what? Somebody else's circumstances are not the author of your faith. They're not. Well, yeah, but so-and-so tried that and it didn't work. Great, I'm not so-and-so. And so-and-so's experience is not the author of my faith. Jesus is the author of my faith. Okay, so now, just something. Looking. That word looking in this passage of Scripture, listen here. The word signifies undivided attention, looking away from all other distractions in order to fix one's gaze on one object. Here in Hebrews is having eyes for no one but Jesus. Okay, now Kim, would you take the binoculars and just pick something out, one of those posters out on the back wall there, and just zero in on it. Now, we have an idea, we have a concept of what happens here, but Kim, kind of what's happening? What's happening as you do that? Oh yeah, see, he got me there. How many saw him get me there? He's focusing on one thing, and all these distractions over here, they're not having any effect on what he's seeing. Amen? What's your focus on? Looking unto Jesus. Looking into God's Word. Letting the Holy Spirit talk to you. And do you know that in your life right now, God's got some fruit He wants you to produce, and you're not even aware of it. That's why it's so important to be in the Word. Because all of a sudden you're reading in the Word one day, and it says, you know, put away clamor, and you don't even know what the word means, so you look it up, and then the Holy Spirit talks to your heart, and all of a sudden it's like, Joel, I'd like to see this fruit in your life, please. How many of you know you got some fruit God wants growing in your life? Will you let Him talk to you? Will you spend some time hanging out with Him and let Him talk to you? So, now, a couple of things happen. One, Kim, yeah, did that poster get closer?
No.
It didn't?
Not any closer.
Okay. In your vision, did it get closer? See, I can work with Him here. But it's like, it's all of a sudden. Okay. So if I spend time focusing on the Word, you know, I'll be, oh God, Jesus. And if I just take and focus on this, what begins to happen? Jesus gets a lot closer. Amen? And all the distractions of the world, like Kim demonstrated earlier, we don't even notice. Amen? Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Kim. Amen. Praise God. How much time do you have for the Word each day? Or let me put it this way. How much time do you have for Jesus? Gee, Pastor, you're sure letting get awful sober in here. Okay. How much time do you have? How much time do you make? I feel sorry for some of my friends. Because they've got their lives so busy and so full, they don't have time to hang out with Jesus. They don't have time. And these are, you know, if I started mentioning some people, this one guy, you'd go, I can't believe that. But it was his own confession that he rarely ever picks up his Bible anymore. It was his own confession. All right. You still doing okay? Can I just read three more passages of Scripture and be done for the day? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1:8. Okay. How many of you'd like the fruit of leadership? You'd like to have the fruit of leadership. Moses has died. He's gone. Joshua 1 verse 8, God is talking to Joshua. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Why do I say the fruit of leadership? Because what was Joshua just called to do that Moses wasn't able to get done? It's interesting to think about this. Moses was not able to get the children of Israel into the promised land. And he's dead and he's no longer on the scene. And now God says to Joshua, Joshua, come here. I got a job for you. How many of you are standing there and go, hey, how about Caleb? He's done a pretty good job. No. God picked Joshua. And then he gives them the instructions on how to be successful. Isn't it interesting? Right here in one verse of Scripture. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may be careful to do according to all that the commandments that are written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous and deal wisely in all the affairs of life. That's another translation. How important is the word? How important is it to be connected to the vine? Go with me to Psalms 1, please. Psalms 1. You guys still doing okay? Yeah, we'll do it that way. Psalms 1. Oh, that is not going to work. I'm in the Song of Solomon's. That just isn't going to work, Joel. Psalms 1. And then let's look at Psalms 1, the very last part of verse 3. Okay, when you get to Psalms 1, the very last part of verse 3. And whatever he does shall prosper. How many of you would like a sermon about that? How many of you know you're getting one? That's what you're getting right now. That's the sermon you're getting right now, that whatever you do shall prosper. That's what we're talking about. See, you know, if I had just doctored upright, everybody would be, oh, yay, whatever I do will prosper. That's what we're talking about. Last part of verse 3 again. And whatever he does shall prosper. What comes before that? Verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. What's this guy focused on? Amen. He's got eyes for the Word. He's got eyes for Jesus. That's what he's focused on. And what will he be like? He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that bring forth fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Glory to God. One last verse of Scripture today. James. James chapter 1. You ever hurt for people? How many of you ever hurt for people? See, I do. I find myself hurting for people. Especially when you know what's available for them. That makes it even tougher. Because you know what's available. You know what's possible. And yet sometimes there's people, we all have friends, who just are like, disconnected from what's available for them in the middle of the storms. I don't know about you, I'd like to be ready for the middle of that storm. You know? Anybody in here collecting firewood for the winter? Amen. Yeah, I'm thinking, Brian, are you already done? Split and stacked right next to his house. Bob, how are you doing? You're doing good. Ron, how's it going at your place? You have it cut. Okay, all right. We're at different levels, but how we're getting ready. Why are we getting our firewood ready? Mike, how are you doing? Four cords. Amen, Brian, you guys burn wood? Where are you at in the process? Well, I'll tell you what. I will come over to your house, throw them in my truck, and stack them by my house. If you got 13 cord, man, I'm... yeah! Anybody need any wood? Brian's... No. No, but what do we do? We're getting ready for the storm. It's amazing how many people will get ready for storms naturally, but not spiritually. You get ready here first, and you'll be amazed how every other storm is dealt with. Turn and look at somebody and say, that's good. Because that's good, you guys. That is so good. That is so true. If we'll get ready in here first, you know what? There'll be so many storms that just go around you, you don't even notice them. I didn't say all of them, but there'll be a bunch of storms you never deal with. Because you were ready ahead of time. Remember Luke 6:46 down through 49? Why do you call Jesus Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that He says? Whoever hears His sayings and does them, He will show that person what He is like. That person is like a man who dug deep and building his house and laid it on the rock. And when the storms came, the house wasn't even shaken. Why don't you turn and look at somebody and say, I only have eyes for Jesus. Come on now. Help me out here, you guys. You know, and what we're saying is, I got eyes for the Word. James chapter 1, my last verse is a scripture, and I'm going to quit with this today. James chapter 1, start at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, and not hearers only. Do you know today has one basic message? How many of you will be, and I'll say what it is, what that one basic message is for today. How many of you today will commit to that? That one basic message is be connected to the vine. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. That is the basic message for today. Really simple. Focus. But be doers of the Word. That's the question for today. That's what's put out there for you today. Will you be a doer of the Word? Will you be a doer of getting into the Word of God? Picking up your Bible and reading it on a regular daily basis? Will you be building yourself up in the Word? Will you be feeding yourself in the Word of God? But be doers of the Word, not hearers only. If you just hear this message and don't do anything with it, guess what? It is a waste of your time. Not mine, because I've been obedient to God. And not to the people who sat in here and then took it and do something with it. But to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in the mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in whatever he does. Blessed in whatever he does. Those three passages of Scripture that we read just right there at the end, they all ended with blessed in whatever he does. And what came before them? The Word, the Word, the Word. How many of you would like to be blessed in whatever you do? We cannot be disconnected from this. Just as Jesus said, we can do nothing if we're disconnected from the vine. We can do nothing if we're disconnected from God's Word. Amen? So, hallelujah. There it is. Anybody want to produce any fruit? Amen. Do you have an idea how? There's a whole lot more teaching that I can do along this. But how many of you could raise a hand and say, yeah, Pastor, I got an idea how to produce fruit. Get in the Word of God. And I'm not going to go any more complicated than that today. Just get in the Word of God, and then there's a few other things you picked up. Keep saying it. Meditate in it. Stick with it. Focus. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's all go ahead and stand up.